She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. You don't have that many holes. There are not enough holes for a Kraken.
It's a 5 in my heart.
There were definitely some holes there that they needed to be filled.
I text Katie about the penises. We'll see.
So what are the unfortunate side effects of heartbreak and magic?
Happy endings.
Why is that the one for you?
Does that count as singing?
Yeah, it does.
Fuck me. I'm going to get point every episode then, because that's how I introduce it. Mm-hmm. That's not fair.
You're the one that started the rule, man. Because you know what I realized? Is... Then this has nothing to do with anything, by the way. This is just
most of what we talk about is like that.
Random thought is I am looking forward to Weird Al coming out with his Taylor Swift album because I can just see
something that's in the works, or you just think
no,
it will
but
be?
I just think it will be. I think that we've gotten to the point where she's reached a level where he's like, okay, it's okay to pick on her now. Because she's like Madonna and Eminem and all that.
But I seriously doubt he would be able to buy anything that's Taylor's version. Maybe can get Scooter Braun to sell him the old versions.
Imagine. I can do it with a broken fart.
Give her a sing.
I eat so much of fiber, I don't understand what's happening. It's an art. Come on.
I think I need a new best friend.
You absolutely do, but that's beside the point. Let's see. This week, what else is going on here? Livy's sick. There's a bug going around school.
My kiddos haven't brought home the sickies yet, but I mean... Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten it from work yet. All the tiny humans you're around.
I'm not really around tiny humans at this new job. Oh. I have finished a full week now, so I've worked 9 days with this library as of the filming of this. And I like it a lot.
Amazing.
It's busy enough that I don't... Like, the day goes really fast.
That's kind of amazing. Because getting a job where you just sit around all day is flustering.
Yeah. And the biggest complaint I have, which is totally not even about my job, is that I can't read while I'm at work, which makes it hard to keep up with pod readings.
Yeah.
And I am a little nervous about next month because October has 5 weeks and we have 2 guests. Next month. So
we do.
Yeah. So I am a little worried about it, but I started reading our first October book yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I've just decided that I'm going to do the audio and the physical so that I can get through it.
Yeah.
As opposed to doing what I usually do, which is listen to the audio of one book and read a physical book. I'm thinking this might see it the process. I have no idea. It's going to be weird. It's just going to be weird.
We'll figure it out. You figure it out. You always do.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the sequel to House on the Cerulean Sea came out.
Is out? Yeah.
It came out, and I really want to read it, and I can't.
Me too.
And I really just want to read Smut, and I can't. So, yeah.
So you either got to quit everything you're doing in your life, just hide
focus
from
on
the
pod,
world,
which doesn't pay us.
Right. Or hide from the world and read your TBR and read all the Smut you want and quit pod. Or you got to read and work and have a grown-up job.
Well,
sucks.
I feel like I didn't get my Smut fill over the summer because, like, Katie and I were talking about when she was on, it just wasn't a good Smut Girl summer. Like, we did not, the books were not it.
They were very lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw your guys' list, I really had high hopes for Smut Girl.
So did I. So did she.
I had real high hopes for Smut Girl. And it just didn't come to fruition.
Probably my favorite book we read over the summer together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was probably The Unhoneymooners by Christina Lauren. I've recently just decided that I love them and they're my favorite. They're not Christina my favorite. Lauren's... Olivia Dade is still my favorite, but
they're a good writing duo though.
They really are.
They're your favorite writing duo.
That's probably true. And then the other book that I really liked, which shocked the hell out of me, was The Dragon's Bride, which is dragon with two penises and a tail gets involved occasionally too.
Speaking of, we never got confirmation from Katie how many penises the Kraken had.
We didn't. We should ask her how many penises the Kraken had.
I'll get on that real quick. I text Katie about the penises. We'll see.
Well, I don't know if the Kraken had a penis for every tentacle, but she did send us a snapshot that said that the woman asked for his tentacle.
Yeah. So. And then he gave him all the tentacles.
She's like,
yeah, baby.
You don't have that many holes. There are not enough holes for a Kraken.
No. It would, I mean, if you put too much in a person.
I mean, I guess you could have, like, the suction cups of, like, the tentacle on your boobs. That might feel good.
Okay, but there's that, but
you... And then a tentacle, I mean...
On your back? There's just,
I don't know, there's not enough holes.
There's not enough holes. The math isn't mathing.
Like, you're going to have cupping, like, you know, how they do, like, the cupping on people's backs? Like, is that...
So she's dating the Kraken. She's not dating the Kraken for the sexual pleasure. She's dating the Kraken.
For muscle relief.
For muscle relief. He is her full-term masseuse. He does massages, to sit shoe, all of it.
And he gives orgasms. It's all good.
Happy endings.
Oh my gosh. What are we doing with our lives?
Waiting for Katie to text us back because we never learned about the penises.
Okay, well, we do need to know about the penises. Okay.
But she hasn't texted back.
You want to talk about this week's book?
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
All right, this week we read The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic by Breanne Randall. And this is the cover. It's pretty cute.
It is.
I loved the witchy vibe of it. You are a fan of witchy books, and I'm not normally, but I did pick this one with you in mind. I thought it was a good, like, September leading into we're doing true horror next month.
Yeah. Well,
we have two horror. Gothic romance. I know. We have two Gothic romance, and then... two real horrors, like they're well, I guess one's a mystery and one's horror, and then a romance thrown in the middle where we're gonna interview the author live, which look below.
It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be so fun.
Information about that. All right, so let's give the synopsis.
All right.
No, I got allergies.
I got allergies.
I'm allergic to allergies.
The outdoors are trying to kill me.
Gosh, I think you have... Can you catch ADHD? Because I'm pretty sure I caught yours.
I've been trying to tell you for years that it's been rubbing off on you.
It really has. It's gotten worse lately. All right. Let's do a synopsis.
Yeah, we've been trying. You're the one that's been delaying us.
Fucking hell! Stop interrupting me!
Look at my pretty new rock.
Oh my gosh. First-time author Breanne Randall weaves a tale of lost love and magic in her debut novel. The Revelar family has always had magic, but they're not witches. The magic flows through each member of the family in their own unique way. Think like Encanto, but it's not Latinx and it's not a kid's thing. Sadie is the dutiful granddaughter of Matriarch Gigi. Words. A cantankerous old woman with secrets and the scars to prove them. Sadie and Gigi run a bakery where the pastries come with magical attributes to help every ailment. Unfortunately, Sadie's world is about to be turned upside down. Not only has her true love Jake returned to town, her prodigal twin brother has come home too, and Gigi is dying. Gigi reveals the curse she bears after killing the twins' father. It's cancer and she's dying. It saved them and prevented their mother from returning home, but now it's killing her. In addition to this, Gigi reveals that one of the twins will die in 30 days after she does as a final sacrifice for the murder of their father. It's up to Sadie to save Gigi, Seth, her long-lost mother, her aunts, uncle, and the sister she never knew existed. And through all that, Jake reveals that while he still loves Sadie desperately, he is engaged to someone else who is also carrying his baby. So what are the unfortunate side effects of heartbreak and magic? Let's find out.
A lot of dead gardens in here, man.
Huh?
Like, Garden dies constantly in this motherfucker. Like,
I don't know why she didn't think that she was the one screwing everything up, because everything was happening to her. Because
nothing's ever her problem fault.
Well, whatever. All right. So, question one. So, I picked this book because it had fall witchy vibes that I know you love. And I loved the title. I liked the wordiness of it, but, I mean, that's a really good title. The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic. It's sort of like An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green. Like, I picked that book, well, because it was Hank Green, but also the title is just really good. So what do you think about Sadie's story overall?
When you read in on the words are hard. When you go to Goodreads and they go, and most of them are comparing this to Practical Magic and Gilmore Girls. Yep. You are 100% getting those vibes. 100% getting those vibes. This is a familiar setting for a reader who is new to this book. They instantly put you in a world that makes you feel comfortable. I like that.
I can see the Gilmore Girls and Practical Magic vibes, but it's like the diet version of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like
the
100-calorie pack version of Gilmore Girls and Practical
Magic. I wanted Coke, and all you have is RC Cola in the house.
I personally love RC Cola. It's a million times better than Coke.
I don't like it, but that's...
But I still like Pepsi. Also, hashtag not sponsored on all of those.
But any of them. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to the fridge for name brand, and I'm getting store-bought.
RC is a name brand.
Okay, excuse me. Then I'm getting store-bought.
You're getting the big K.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to grab Oreos from your pantry, and they're the name right brand from whatever name right is. You know what I mean?
Good value.
Get my point. Right, and they're almost right, but the recipe's a smidge off.
Yeah, it's definitely like, the generic version.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's just
That's probably the best way to describe it.
It's fine. I'll eat it.
I gotta say, on a related note, after I finished this book, I was just thinking to myself, man, we have had not a good start to the season.
No, and we're going to get to why I'm frustrated with this book, because I liked it. I don't want to take away from the fact that I enjoyed this novel, and I did fly through it in a decent, like, it, pretty quickly.
I mean, I didn't hate it. I don't know if I would say I liked it.
It kept my attention the whole time. My frustration comes with structure, story building. It's the nuts and bolts of this book that bothers me.
Yeah. So, yeah, but our first four episodes, all four of them, we've been like, wah, wah.
Nah, nah. But hey, we get those seasons. We get those seasons where it's just
I have a feeling next month is not going to be like that.
No, and I do too.
I think it's going to be good.
I think even with How to Sell a Haunted House, I think we're going to get, I think one, I'm going to enjoy that book, and two, it's going to scare the shit out of you. I really think you'll get a really good episode out of it. And I think you're going to enjoy the writing, even if it did scare the fuck out of you.
I think so too. I'm already enjoying Anatomy, and it's historical fiction. Too. So
Again, I picked this book because I knew it was like sci-fi-y, but I didn't know it was that book. I didn't know it was really historical fiction-y. So
It reminds me of the book we read in our first spooky season.
Yes.
Mexican
Gothic.
No, not Mexican Gothic. It's the one that Rizzoli and Isles. It's one of those.
Oh. No, well, it wasn't Rosalia. It's Bone Gardens by the same author.
Bone Gardens.
By Tess, whatever.
Yeah.
Grisha.
That was that was a good book. Whatever. All right. Yeah. We probably should talk about the book we're fucking here to talk about. All right. This book This book takes place in a small Gilmore Girls style town. Everyone knows the Revelers have magic. In fact, Gigi helps many townspeople with medical issues using her baking. The town seems very open to magic being around. It sort of reminded me of Spells for Forgetting that we did in season 5. What were your thoughts on the small town vibe?
It's very much Gilmore Girls. Everyone knows everyone. You know, I was expecting a Taylor Dosey's type person to pop up at some point and be super bossy about everything. I really enjoy it. And I really enjoy the embracement of the magic in there, especially since they're part of the founding families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of this story that frustrates me, though, is we're getting histrionics. I use that a lot. I don't even know if it's real. We are getting a lot of history here. And while we get some of it, we don't get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the history that's missing, I feel like, would help us understand why they're so accepting of the witches. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, and I feel like there's a plot hole here, too. Because towards the end, while she's trying to figure out how to save Gigi, and then after Gigi dies, when she's trying to figure out how to save Seth, she's going and visiting other families that also seem to be magic families, and that's never established until, like, the very end of the book. And, like, it seems like the reason that this town is so accepting of the magic is because more than just the Revelars have magic.
But not all of them. It's like a few families.
Right.
If this town has 75 families, only like 10 are magic.
Right. But that's also like Spells for Forgetting. There was like two families that really had magic.
What frustrated me is, as old as this town is, as ancient as this magic is, you're telling me there was no witch trials ever in this town. Mm-hmm. You're telling me at one point they didn't go, "Oh my God, evil, burn the witch." You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it just feels, it feels like we're glossing over history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as witches, we get burned.
Yeah, there were definitely some holes there that they needed to be filled. And I don't mean by tentacles. Like, I mean, like, there are plot holes that, like, you need to fill the plot holes.
There was no hole filling in this book.
Mm-mm, no. Something I found really surprising about a book with witchy vibes and magic was that there was an inclusion of religion, particularly Christianity. As a community, the town attends church every Sunday. I mean, the whole town does this.
Which is a very common thing in small towns.
But it doesn't happen in Gilmore Girls. They're still a very small, devout community. Sadie even volunteers at the church. Gigi actually seems really devout. What did you think about the inclusion of Christianity in this type of book?
In the day, way back, way, way back, okay? If you look at history, lots of witches in old England, in that kind of setting, were devout Protestants, Catholics, Christians, they believed very much in God and believed in this power, this use and this tool they were given was something, not just a gift from the goddess, but a gift from heaven, right?
But I think that depends on how you look at it, because you referenced, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you referenced the Salem witch trials earlier.
Yeah.
Those women were not actually witches.
No, they were women that were burned at the stake.
Right. And it was basically hysteria that tore the town apart, and everyone was, you know, selling each other out to save themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than when we talk about, like, witches, Wiccan, the Wiccan community, or we talk about the Highlander witches in Scotland. That's more of a magic of nature. Right. And they weren't necessarily practicing a religion. They were practicing the worship of nature, which I think makes more sense for this community and this book than what we actually have. Mm-hmm. Especially because so much of the vibes with Sadie are that she's outside, she's growing a garden, she's they swear on the lemon tree, like these kind of things are worshiping nature. But for them to go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a water tree. You know what I mean? We talk about my water tree like it's this holy like thing. It's
but along those lines, your family is basically pagan. Like you're agnostic.
Well, I am. I'm agnostic. Well, but I know that there's a higher being. I'm not meddling and playing games and I'm gonna stay out of it. Y'all figure your shit out.
But we do know people who believe in the power of nature and healing crystals and things like that, who are Christians. It just didn't seem to fit this book.
No. No. And it wasn't a part, if it was more ingratiated into the magic, or if it was, if the community was more a part of the story, it would make sense. But it just felt like a way that the author could use getting everybody together, right? Yeah. It wasn't. Which
Gilmore Girls accomplished through a town meetings.
Right. 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 It was just, it was a plot point device. Mm-hmm. It wasn't part of the story.
Yeah. And it doesn't even, it comes up like that one time and then it's it. Mm-hmm. Like that's it. Mm-hmm. All right. This story has a lot going on.
Yeah, it does.
A lot of plot devices. And there are several plots that are supposed to weave together. I'm not so sure that they do, but I'd like to break them down separately because I find that there are like three separate stories here. There's the story with Sadie and Gigi, the story with Sadie and Jake, and the story with Sadie and Seth. So let's start with Gigi. Sadie has been Gigi's right hand for her whole life. Gigi taught Sadie how to use her magic and her baking, and she encourages Sadie to write a cookbook and teach classes. Now that Gigi is dying, Sadie's world is falling apart. Sadie tries desperately to save Gigi's life. What are your thoughts on Sadie and Gigi's relationship?
I think Gigi has coddled Sadie for too long. I think that they have a codependent relationship. And I think that Gigi didn't teach her how to be alone in any way, shape, or form. And so her losing her grandmother is difficult because she doesn't know how to be Sadie without Gigi. What do you think?
I mean, I don't see it that way because I know I would have done anything to save my grandmother, too. So I can see that, like, that's the person that raised her. I get it.
Right. I can say that too, but the extremes Sadie is going.
She's going through grief. When you're watching someone die, you can start the grief process early. I personally think that Gigi was my favorite character in this book. Called them all pissants and shitheads or something, like
little
shits and piss ants. And I just thought she was so funny.
But then she has like sweet tears, terms of endearment for him, right? She loves them. That's the thing. Like when I call, if I go call your kid and I go, boy, I'm saying it out of love, right? Because if I call a kid a boy, I'm calling him my boy. Yeah. And so, yeah, it sounds mean and scary, but I'm doing it out of love.
Yeah, I typically say to my sons, I'll say, hi, son. Hi, other son. Like, and it doesn't matter what order they're being greeted in. I call them son because I'm the one that gets to do that. Tom and I are the only ones that get to do that. So, I thought their relationship was really sweet. I don't know. I think if I were in that situation and I could try to use magic to save Lois, I 100% would have.
I mean, would I do anything to bring back Arvina or Pam, my Aunt Pam, or any, a loved one? Yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also, there's this balance. This goes into me being fucking my witchy shit. There's a balance in nature, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is in the Bible and all that, but everything has its time. Mm-hmm. And this was Gigi's time. Mm-hmm. And Gigi may have rushed it with her ability to bring on other things into her life that mm-hmm. brought the cancer on. But she also is like,
she lived, you know, a really grown-ass long life. Woman. Right.
Yeah. She lived and a she's really a grown long ass, life. And she's a grown-ass woman. So if she decides she does not want cancer treatments, mm-hmm. then she doesn't have to have cancer treatments.
Well, she had it in her head that the cancer wasn't a natural occurring cancer. It was a cancer right. that was because she was cursed for killing Julian.
Like, but, it's her karma.
Right. And it grew for a long time before she even admitted that she had it. But, right. But I think that's also, to me, a little bit of a weird deviation. And I have a question about this later, so I'll hold on to it. But it's one of those things that I was kind of like, this doesn't fit in this book.
There's several times this book.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Yeah.
This doesn't belong.
Right, right. All right, so moving on, we're going to talk about Jake and Sadie's relationship. So Jake is Sadie's true love. But Sadie has been cursed with 4 heartbreaks before she loses her magic. So Jake was her mm-hmm. first heartbreak. Her second one was Seth leaving. Her third one, they never explicitly say it, but it's Gigi dying. So now she's down to just one. And if she gets one more heartbreak, she will lose her magic. So, as a result, she pushes people away. When Jake returns, their chemistry reignites until he reveals that he's engaged to a woman named Bethany who is carrying his child. What are your thoughts on Jake and Sadie's relationship?
It feels very much like old high school flame returning to town kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Second chance romance.
Yeah, second chance romance. There you go. There's the expression for it. And I like their relationship, and you know, it's very common second chance romance for them just to jump back into things the way they were and to feel comfortable in what they are. And that is very much the storyline. And of course that storyline has a girlfriend. Do you have a question about the pregnancy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then I want to wait to talk about that part. But like, how long he waited to tell her about the mm-hmm. fiance mm-hmm. irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah. And I know that she kept trying to avoid having conversations with him because she knew something was going on and she didn't mm-hmm. want. But actually, when I got to that part in the book, I texted you. I was like, I knew this motherfucker was engaged.
Same. I was like, and I knew that too. There's several things in here I predicted, but I was like, oh, come on.
It's like a Hallmark romance, right? It's second chance romance, but this is of course, he already has somebody else. And
that's what this is. This is if Hallmark did magic.
If Hallmark did Halloween movies, this would be the book. Yeah.
This is, yep. That's exactly this is exactly what Hallmark would. And I watched the shit out of that because
I've never seen a Hallmark romance movie.
Oh, they're so easy. It's like watching Lifetime movies. They're so easy just to binge and turn on and ignore and half pay attention to.
Yeah.
And just feel the sound, you know?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Seth. So Sadie's twin brother Seth has been gone for a long time. Revelars leave, but they always come back.
Except for Sadie.
Yeah, Sadie never left. Unfortunately, Seth's return isn't fully welcome. In a lot of ways, he is the catalyst to Gigi's death and Jake's return. What are your thoughts on Seth and Sadie's relationship?
They did not feel like twins.
Mm-mm.
They felt like an older sibling, younger sibling duo. There is something about their twin connection that makes me do this. Because it falls flat.
Yeah.
And you're writing twins into a novel. You need to write, and they're magical twins.
Yeah.
Let's take an example from Dr. Deborah Harkness, her fucking self.
Right.
That woman wrote a set of twins that weren't just each other's polar opposites, but also completed each other and mm-hmm. were a beautiful yin and yang of how siblings should be. And that's how you write witchy twins. This mm-hmm. is just, it fell flat.
And
that's the only
thing. She was trying to force it so hard by saying, oh, they had the twin intuition and things like that. But then
they never lean on it.
But it turns out Seth actually has the ability to read people. And so, like, that's
not
really
never twin intuition.
Energy.
Yeah. Because, like, and you know, and let's not lie, Sadie is a bit of a narcissist, right? Yeah. Everything in this world is about Sadie. Sadie doesn't worry about her best friend. Her Sadie doesn't worry about her brother. Sadie doesn't worry about anybody else until it starts to affect Sadie and her magic. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of narcissistic. Mm-hmm. Like, you're telling me you've been best friends with this woman for a bazillion years and you didn't notice she was madly in love with your brother?
That's so dumb. Give me a fucking break. Yeah, that part.
You don't really know your friends as well as you thought you should. What's that?
That part really irked me, too. She even points out that Seth leaves his arm around her. And it's like, duh.
We're all... You cannot be this dense, Sadie.
Yeah. All right. This book, for me, had a lot of side stories that just didn't seem to fit. So, first of all, Gigi murdering Julian, which is the twin's father. Oh, it just seems so far-fetched. And the fact that Jake came home... due to gang violence, where he was working as a firefighter. What did you think of these side stories?
Okay, first and foremost, when the murder came up, you and I were texting back and forth at this point about this book, and we were around the same point, and I go, so we're just going from a cozy fantasy to murder? Right. Like,
right. That escalated, like, really quickly.
That like, there are so many things that don't fit in this book. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the mom should have came back.
I think she should have, but the
coming back with a kid
didn't make sense. They didn't build up Sage enough.
Her being in Vegas feels cliche, and it's just there is just, and all of the aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there are so many little bits of this that just don't fit. Yeah, you can shove those puzzle pieces in there and it kind of looks like the picture, but we are not getting the book you thought you were giving us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I just felt like, and then the gang violence, like there was, I was just like, what is this? Like, that doesn't have to be the reason that he comes back to town, that his fiance... No. Says, where will you feel safe? So he goes back to the small town, and it's because of gang violence. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, because that's what I hear about inner city firefighters that I know, that they have a lot of problems with gangs.
Well, I'm not to say that they wouldn't, but it's like, it's like she was like, what is the polar opposite of small town life? Gangs.
I don't have words.
I don't either. Gigi's death.
I have zero words, lady.
Gigi's death brings home all of her children, including Sadie's mom. Mm. You get the found family vibes, but they're all already family. What did you think about the Revelars?
Their homecoming. Do you like National Lampoon Christmas?
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Okay. And all the Griswolds are coming home, and it's like chaotic and crazy.
And the shitter's full.
And the shitter's full, and there's people yelling, and that's how it felt, right? Mm-hmm. But we are watching as if we've seen these people come home before.
Yes. Yes.
We are watching as if we know these motherfuckers.
Yes.
We don't know anyone.
We don't know them.
Introduce them.
We don't know them.
I don't know who Uncle Brian is.
Right.
Don't. If you tell me Brian is a character, do you know who I think of when I hear a random Brian character? Brian Griffin. Is your uncle a dog?
Why is that the one for you?
I've been watching a lot late at night. I zone out and play games on my phone, Stony Pants, and I need a background show that is stupid and funny. So I put on Family Guy.
My background show is House.
It's always fucking two. Lupus.
It's never Lupus. No Lupus. It's never Lupus.
That was
the first thing I thought of when you were first diagnosed, and that was like your first diagnosis. I was like, it's not lupus. It's never
lupus. And it's not. And it's and not. It's not. And it's not.
I had the same issue as you did. I don't know these people, so I don't feel that connection.
Why are we getting excited about people we don't know?
I don't know. And follow-up question, how realistic do you find it that everyone stays after Gigi dies? Like, they all decide they're going to move there.
That's weird. Everyone staying in the same house, yeah. 100% thing my family used to do.
Right.
We'd all shove into my grandparents' house.
Right.
When my aunts and uncles would get together and I was a kid, we would all sleep under one roof. It was awful. And full of people-y and gross and But them all moving home to be with Sadie just is weird. It's like something grandma said. Oh, Sadie can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Sadie can't be alone. Everyone change your life for Sadie.
Right.
And it's just making
an additional follow-up question, because this is something that really bugged me. Is Gigi a Revelar? Or did she, like, marry into the Revelar family? Because she has the magic. So where did the last name come from? Did she marry a cousin? I think
she's a Revelar, and the husband's an outsider, because he constantly was leaving.
Okay, but, like, well, he was dead the whole time that we're having this book. But,
right.
So, like, she just, like, kept her last name, and he was fine with all the kids being named.
It's like in Discovery. The bishops keep the bishop name because they're the most powerful witches.
Okay, well, I don't know that because I've only read the first book.
And that's in the first book, though.
Okay, well, you know how many seasons ago we read that book? We read that in the first season, Molly.
We've read a lot of things.
We are in season 7. And actually,
and you started season 8 schedule already, by the way. What the hell, my guy?
Only because we're having a guest for the first episode, and I had to put it on there.
Whatever.
You know, when here's the thing. I don't like it when someone says they're well-read, because it usually means that they're reading, like, pretentious-ass books, and I'm like, all right, cool, you're well-read.
Listen here, motherfucker.
But we actually were talking about this in terms of this book. Right. And really, it goes for every book I think that we read this month. We have become very well read. We may not be reading the pretentious ass books that people who are well read said, but we read at least a book a week, at least. And oftentimes we're both reading more than that. So I feel like as the series goes on, as Book Besties goes on, we've become more critical. And I think that trend will continue because
I 100% would have just blew through this book and raved about this book and loved this book before 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I would have just read this and suggested it to all my friends that like witchy books. And I wouldn't have even pulled it apart like I am now.
Right. And Powerless, if it weren't for the fact that we've read so many other books, we both would have liked that more. And
Powerless pulled from some of our favorites.
Right.
Powerless was really close to things that we had read pre this.
Right. That's true. But I mean, we do read so much now that like we can't help but compare. We just can't.
It's hard not to.
Right.
It's hard not to.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know that I would have ever rated this higher than a 3.5, which is what I gave it.
Yeah.
But I think you would have. And that's not against you. No, that's saying that, like, because this is more your vibe than it's my vibe.
Mm-hmm. And I rounded up. I gave it a 4, even though my star rating was a 3.5.
Yeah.
Only because I think it is a good book.
Right. I did the opposite. I gave it a 3.5, but on Goodreads it shows a 3.
I really do think people would enjoy this.
Right.
I think people that like Discovery of Witches, Practical Magic, all of those like witchy fall vibe books. Mm-hmm. You like a little mystery, a little romance.
Yeah.
What was that one we read last season with the island and the magic and the kids?
Spells for Forgetting.
Yes. It kind of gives those vibes without the mystery.
Yeah, I said that too. And Spells for Forgetting had a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heather from Bookables, who's a friend of our pod and has been on a couple of times.
Which one? We know a couple.
Me too. Heather from Bookables, who's been on a couple of times. This is a book that she recommends. And she is somebody that I consider to be incredibly well-read. I mean, she runs
a YouTube channel. She is very well-read. She reads way more than we do.
But I think she's a lot kinder than we are. She
absolutely is.
Like, sometimes she rates something where she'll be like, she'll literally have something and she'll be like, oh, I gave this a 2, but it's good. And I'm like, but I think that goes back to her being
better than us.
I think that's, I think it goes back to the fact that she's well-read. Like, we rate books on vibes. Like, we love Twilight and it's terrible.
Oh, I give, Twilight's a big stinking 3. A big stinking 3.
I have a 5 for it. But if I were to rate it now.
I mean, it's a 5 in my heart.
Well, 5 in my heart.
It's a 5 in my heart, but there's a lot of writing problems in that book.
Oh.
So do we have any more questions?
Oh, we do. Sorry, my bad. all right, let's talk about the baking and the recipes throughout this book. So we both read.
The only reason I want to buy this book is for the recipes.
I own this book. This is my copy. We both read the audiobook for this one, and so we actually got to hear the recipes through Gigi's voice. But well, I think
all the recipes. Yeah, through Gigi's voice, you're right.
Yeah, I think that the readers of the physical book may have thought that these were Sadie's recipes since her grandmother encouraged her to write a cookbook. What are your thoughts on this? And do you feel like the recipes added to the story?
I like the recipes only because I'm a baker, right? I would, if I was physically reading this book and slow reading and taking my time, I absolutely would be baking alongside this. If this was a book club book, I absolutely would assign people bakes from this and we would all bring something different. I really think it adds to the book. I don't usually say shit like that, but I think it adds to the book.
I don't think it took away, but you don't want to know what it reminded me of? So our good friend Francesca Zappia has been on this pod so many times. She's coming on again next month. We love her. She's our other honorary bestie. When she came on for Grey Mist Fair, which is right up here.
Somewhere.
Right up there. When she came on for Grey Mist Fair, one of the things she talked about was how originally the main character of Grey Mist Fair was a baker, and her editor was like, it's so cliche. The witch is always a baker. Change her thing. And this, to me, that was very cliche about this book.
Oh, it is cliche. Of course
they heal everyone through their food. And then all of a sudden, when Gigi gets sick and Sadie has to leave, they just have another baker who bakes all the same recipes. But since she doesn't have magic through it won't do anything. And I was just like, seriously? This is just, jeez.
But I think the cliche works here.
I don't.
I think the cliche works here. I
don't. I think the recipes in the book help, but I don't.
I cannot see another avenue on which she is an active part of this community without being a baker.
She could have had an herb shop.
Okay.
Or a tea shop.
It's just as cliche.
It's just as cliche. But there are other ways, I'm saying.
I mean, Practical Magic, she has like a soap and apothecary shop, you know? It's just.
Well, Chezzy made it work where the girl was a tailor. And I thought that
was. Cliches are cliches for a reason. I think it works.
All right. Let's talk about Jake and Bethany. Bethany isn't showing when we meet her. And she won't let Jake touch her. And she hasn't seen a doctor. We also learned that Jake is only with her because of the baby. We both predicted that she wasn't really pregnant. Was this side story needed?
Honestly, after her first week, they should have written her just running off.
Like, she did not like the small town vibe, couldn't handle it, she was gone.
Yeah. And she just left Jake a note saying, I lied, I'm sorry, I gotta go. It was not worth the page space. It wasn't, babe. It and wasn't then, worth the page space.
And then it's written so that she confesses it to Sadie first, but
I found that funny.
What Sadie gave her wasn't gonna, she wouldn't be able to remember it, so Sadie had to make it again so that Jake would, I was like, whatever. But I knew because that was the plot of the first season of Glee. I knew she wasn't pregnant.
I was like, it 100% was Glee. That's what Piper said. I go, and I was telling Piper about this, and she goes, like in Glee?
I was like, yep. All right, Sadie tries to kill herself to save Seth, but clearly that doesn't work because he won't let it. He won't let her kill herself.
That's when the twin magic works.
Right. In the end, she realizes the thing she has to give up to save her brother is her magic. Thoughts?
Okay. So as I was reading this book, and they keep saying Revelar's leave, and they return. Right. So my thought bubble was, as a writer in my head, after reading this ending, how I would have fixed this for Sadie to keep her magic and keep her brother alive. She must leave. Mm-hmm. That's the life that's ending. Her life in town.
I thought the same thing.
Not her life as she knew it. Her life as a witch. This whole plot line of Sadie losing her magic and her mom mysteriously taking off in the end feels, this ending feels so last minute. It is like,
I mean, it makes sense to me that it was her magic she had to give up because she's been so protective of it. She pushed everyone away so she wouldn't have to endure that fourth heartbreak. And I figured what she had to do was give up her magic to have what she needed, but it's just like, seriously,
it just falls flat.
It's not just that she has to give her magic. It's that they have to do the ritual on the full moon on top of Julian's grave. It's all these things compounded. That's like, okay, it could have just been one. Like, where is the focus here?
Well, magic, and that was like my problem with like magic has to be compounded on each other to like work and all that. Like the layers.
Then why did her mother have them try to use a conduit in the garden?
Because her mother's dumb and hasn't been playing with her magic like she should because she's been gone for so long.
All right. The last question I have is, the book ends on a bit of a cliffhanger when the twins' mom disappears again to try to
find... Hey, take my kid.
Yeah. Try to find a cure for Sadie losing her magic. Do you think that they'll write a sequel? Do you think she'll write a sequel?
Okay. So after I finished this book, I rushed to this woman's website. I rushed to this woman's website because you cannot write an ending like that and leave it that open-ended without some sort of
plans
to, and she has no plans.
Right. She has another book coming out next year, which I thought, okay, maybe that's the sequel. So I clicked on it.
No, it has nothing to do with this.
It was sort of like how when the Wilder Girls ended, it was like, really? Yes. We just ended like that? Like, that's just it?
And it's a standalone.
Same thing with In the Lives of Puppets. It was over.
It's wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Go to your corner.
Yeah. You're doing
it wrong. Think about what you did.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's all I've got. You got anything to add?
The extra witches in town were unnecessary. More twins in town were unnecessary.
Yes.
We could have had less aunts and uncles and it still have the same effect.
Yes.
I
didn't even care enough about those characters to try to keep them straight.
Oh, I have one big bell ringer. Making the best friend a token Hispanic person just to make them a token Hispanic person is disgusting.
Awful. I hated it too.
It is so unnecessary. You're telling me this tiny small town has almost no people of color, but except for the one family that's Hispanic.
And the only family of color that we have mentioned in here, they're in therapy.
Yeah. So they're the broken ones.
Right. It was awful. It was awful.
It's not
be inclusive
through.
Or don't like.
Right. Be
don't
thoughtful
half-ass
with your
it.
Work.
Don't half-ass inclusion.
No.
All right. You want to talk about what we're doing next month? Not just
fine.
Next week. All right. So next month, whatever. We have. Damn. All the attitude.
I know, I'm in a mood.
All right, so next month we have spooky reads, all except one, which is
going to be a romance because we're doing something special.
It'll be fun, though. I'm excited about that.
Next week, we're doing Anatomy, a Love Story. Ooh. And this book is by Dana Schwartz. There is a sequel book, which we just found out. By the way, as many times as I've seen this cover, never realized that that was a girl in the middle.
Heart? Oh.
It's her dress.
Yeah, it's a girl in a dress.
I thought it was just a heart. All right, then we're going to read Butcher and Blackbird by
I'm so excited Gwen about that. Weaver.
You all keep talking about this one and telling us we need to read it, so you're getting it. We're going to read it. I don't know how I feel about it. The third week, we're actually going to be filming live at Novel Grounds on October 12th. We're going to be talking to Emma Berry, the author of this new book, Bad Reputation. She's also the author of Chick Magnet, if you've read that. I'm very, very excited for this one.
Me too.
Emma's great. I met her in person a couple of times. And she lives locally to me, and I am just ecstatic to do this. There are tickets required for this event. It does come with a free copy of the book, which, I mean, it's actually a discounted copy of the book ticket, because it's cheaper than the book price, and she will sign it. Then we are going to have our good friend Chezzy back to read Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. And this is one that's gotten a lot of traction as well. So excited about that
I actually
one.
Picked it kind of hoping Chezzy would like it.
I knew she would. I knew that's the one she'd come for. And then we're going to end the month with Grady Hendrix's How to Sell a Haunted House. And I am pretty sure
she picked this, guys.
I'm pretty sure that I will die of fear. So there you go.
It's a true horror novel.
True horror. I did okay with some of the other, like,
you did.
We Mexican Gothic. I did fine with that one. And
that was that's not horror though. That's like sci-fi horror.
Well, okay. And Mary Shelley Club was pretty freaking scary.
Mary Shelley Club was scary, but that was like murder mystery, huh?
You know what? Fuck you. Okay? Respectfully. Fuck you.
I love you. I know.
I'm a big baby.
What scares you. I love you.
I love happily ever afters. I don't need to be scared. The world is scary enough, Molly.
The world is so fucking scary. The world is so
fucking scary. The human world is a mess. That is why I read books. That's all I've got.
I got nothing else, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you next week. Bye. Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic by Breanne Randall. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins. And music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.